Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. It is election day. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? False start with the no audio, so make sure you refresh your browser. But if you are hearing this, then you don't need to refresh. How are you doing, people? Odyssey is in trouble because, well, Library has been losing its case in the Library versus SEC case, and so the Library token is going down in value. That's too bad because I have a lot of them, but I don't care. I think it's a very minor case when you think about it, and I think Library will just go forward, will just keep moving on and survive. They will find ways, maybe change the Library coin, maybe not make it a Library coin, perhaps a JF coin. That way there's no connection between Library and Odyssey and the cryptocurrency itself. But I think they're getting persecuted for no reason at all other than the fact that they are a platform for free speech, a platform that could truly change the internet. Thomas says he doesn't understand the title of the show. Library loses, Binance buys FTX, but I feel fine. This is a quote from the song, "It's the end of the world as we know it, but I feel fine." In other words, there is a major crash in the crypto market right now, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. That is what it means, and that is in the same mood that the original song says it. I feel the same tonight. I feel good. Diceberg says, "Doing good, JF." So we are starting to have the first few results of the election night, but we have been warned by the CNNs of this world that we should expect weeks before the final count is given. Somehow in America, it has been possible to count votes on the very night of the vote for 200 years. But in 2022, something happened, and it's not possible anymore.
Valencia, thanks so much. And the first actual votes are coming in from Georgia for the U.S. Senate race. They're hotly contested. Let's go to Casey Hunt. Casey, what are you seeing?
Yes, they are, Jake. We are finally starting to get some votes in this race that we have been talking about literally for months.
So the order in which these votes are coming are for now, they are not indicative at all. You may seem to have some success here on the Democrat side in Georgia, but the votes are so demographically and geographically split that the current results mean nothing. I think that we're headed generally toward, gains of Republicans, but not as much as it could have been, because I think the Republicans are systematically underperforming simply because we have a population that wants leftism. We have normies that they want leftism. And so whatever the Republican Party does, it's harder. However, the normies are also stuck with the reality that their price inflation, their gas prices have gone to unsustainable level. And so they are also tempted by the Republican Party. So what I would predict is we're going to get a loose win from the Republicans. It's not going to be crushing. It might flirt around the majority of the House, but I don't care because it's not going to change much. I would, of course, want the Republican Party to win just to make sure that the Democrats don't have control of the legislative agenda. But it's not going to improve America that much. Like, get the Republicans in strong position in the House for the next 2 years. What will it change? I mean, let's not forget in this country that the president has a veto right on many laws. So it's not like they're going to be able to go wild and impose stuff on America or take America into a new direction. There are too much checks and balances, and ultimately even the Republican Party is not even motivated at improving America. We've seen it. They've had the legislative power. They've done nothing with it. what we were telling them, hey, we're about to get kicked from the internet. Your political opponents are about to take control of the information airwaves. Change Section 230. And they don't do shit. So they will not do shit either now, and nothing will change. And will it improve the economy? Maybe there will be a kind of a boom of positivity in the economy if the Republicans take over, just because of the gridlock situation, because when politicians are not powerful, the free market can progress a little more. But at this point, they have gathered so much power that I don't think it's going to lead to an American renaissance. Silver Spider says, the Republicans will just start saying the Democrats are the real racist and then copy their platform. John Drake says, House, Dems 186, GOP 249. Senate, Dems 47, GOP 53. Governor, Dems 18, 32 GOP. My prediction with some fraud baked in. Wow, this is a positive. I mean, you are more enthusiastic about this than me. I think it may vary, but that would be a red wave. That would be as good as the GOP can do tonight. I hope that you are right. I hope that you are right. But there's we're already seeing the big conflicts developing around voting machines, and you have a whole part of the right that today is dedicated their time to checking. And I think it's good that they're checking. I think it's good that we have monitors. But the media, the right-wing media on the internet is kind of snap. It has a snap reaction to, oh yeah, they're Maricopa County. This guy is pausing votes. Oh my God, pausing votes. People are going too insane about anything. And I understand why. It's because if you don't have confidence in the system, if again and again you've not had the opportunity to question the validity of these machines, and if you've been censored for just wanting the democracy to be functional and the voting system to be fair, it doesn't inspire confidence in the system. So when a local guy in Maricopa County or whatever county just does something that otherwise would be absolutely normal and okay, you have this hyper reaction to it because one has legitimate questions to ask about whether if there was fraud, we could ever talk about it, let alone fix it. There's no impression that there has been due process for the people who have raised concerns about fraud in 2020. So as long as you don't have due process, anything will make people go crazy. And we have a lot of examples already today. So we'll be following if some results of interest are showing up. But for now, it is an empty count. We don't get much. We don't see much progress. 3 of 435 races called, 2 of 35 races called. All right. Thomas says the right wing was complacent in 209 and paid for it in 2020, just like Dems in 2016. Oh yeah, I mean, people had the impression that victory was attained. Now there is a crypto carnage going on, a very bizarre story involving Binance and FTX. I think that the Binance guy, this guy CZ, has been deploying an extreme tactic against FTX. So FTX is an exchange that has risen in the last 3 years approximately. And it has risen as a competitor to Binance. I personally do not know FTX. I do not use FTX. I had never heard of FTX before yesterday. And so FTX is this exchange that is kind of a competitor to Binance. and some nervousness had been for more than a week now, seeded by Binance people, including CZ, on the viability of FTX, making people nervous about FTX and having deposits at FTX. And people were starting to scan the wallets of FTX, because you can know if the wallets of a big company is sending Bitcoin or receiving Bitcoin. And they had noted that all withdrawals had been stopped. And I think this was yesterday or 2 days ago. So all withdrawals were completely stopped. So people started becoming nervous, and people started trying to withdraw even more Bitcoin. Since there was a pause in withdrawal, there were no outs, there was no output. And people were seeding increasingly, raising the concern that perhaps FTX is bankrupt in Bitcoin. And perhaps they are unable to honor their obligations toward their depository. All of this was what was deploying in the last week. And I was following the situation, but didn't talk about it on the show. I was waiting to see what was happening. Now, reversal of fate and reversal. What an amazing event today. We learned that Binance, who has been part of the smear campaign against FTX, we learned that Binance wants to buy FTX. They have sent a letter of intent to buy FTX. Now, this reminds me a lot. There's lots of people who have done this historically, predatory smearing and then buying. Why do you smear before? Because you can reduce the value of what you want to buy. It makes me think of what Elon Musk did with Twitter. Elon Musk started a case saying, oh, I don't want to buy Twitter anymore. Very interesting. And of course, the consensus, although the details are not public and it's really just a letter of intent at this point, it may not play out into a buy, but Elon Musk kind of failed. And Elon Musk, by the way, is partnered with Binance for the buying of Twitter. So I'm thinking there's the same strategy. Elon Musk and CZ have bought Twitter together. The same strategy plays out in the buying of FTX. So this is the equivalent of if you go buy a car, a used car, and just before buying it, you start denigrating the car to its current owner. You start saying, there's lots to repair on there. Oh my God, the engine is very noisy. Oh, and then, okay, I'll buy it, but for less. It's this, but at a level that is so out there. Elon Musk tried to do this hostile takeover thing by seeding a lack of confidence with his lawsuit, but Elon Musk was bound to a too big of a contract. But here Binance did totally contrary to what Elon Musk did. They went for a contract that specifies we can withdraw from this deal for any reason we want. So they are the total opposite of Elon Musk, where Elon Musk was so bound to buy Twitter that Twitter was confident they could get a judge to force him to buy them. Now, CZ has no obligation at all to honor their letter of intent. But yeah, it's questionable whether this is ethical. Of course, Binance is trying to make PR around this by saying it's going to be good for the investors, because at least, you know, if we come and save FTX that way, all of the investors' possessions will be honored. And in a way, yes, okay, that's certainly better than the whole exchange crashing and people running away with the Bitcoins, you know, whoever can withdraw. So yes, that's good. But I don't know. I don't like these procedures that are deceptive in nature. This whole, oh, I'm going to smear you and then I'm going to buy you. So crypto crashing again after Binance rescues FTX from significant liquidity crunch. After an initial spike of exuberance, crypto prices are tumbling once again as perhaps the systematic fragility of what CZ just did to SBF is too much for some. I don't think this should, long term, I don't think this will affect Bitcoin price. Now, you see nervousness on the market. You will see ups and downs, but long term, doesn't matter to Bitcoin what Binance does. I'm not worried about this for Bitcoin overall. DK Shadow says, Twitter is going to become the next WeChat with crypto. John Drake says, it could even be a move to make some money on shorts. It has to be illegal. Oh yeah, I hadn't thought about this, but perhaps Binance is playing these shifts while benefiting from its futures platform. That would be certainly... That would be a question to ask, certainly. Binance's plan to acquire FTX is real-life Game of Thrones as crypto winter blows. Okay. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, what are the chances the GOP will incite government shutdowns again over budget negotiations if they gain power in Congress, as it would occur during Obama's administration? Have we crossed the Rubicon due to COVID spending, where the GOP will no longer make a fuss over spending? I'm afraid that we did. And I'm afraid that the GOP is a party not to be trusted anymore with the conception of a small government. If my party took over America, like took over the House, that would be an immediate shutdown. Whatever days are needed, I would get to the point where I can make a shutdown and I would declare it. And the big problem with shutdowns in America is that the employees who stay at home of the government during a shutdown eventually get their pay back. That is ridiculous. You have to not only send them home, fire them, and not pay them. John Drake says, almost no chance they will keep spending until the wheels come off. Yeah, that is so sad. So sad that we cannot even have a voice in our current politics for small government. That is absolutely stunning. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey. Chat, Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite platform to receive support for the show. Now, I prefer cash Super Chats, but you might want to get rid of your LBC because maybe the SEC will go after you. Well, Papa JF is a solid, has a solid LBC account, and I'm not afraid of the SEC. So if you're getting nervous with your library tokens, send them to me as super chats. I will be happy to keep them until they reach a higher value again in the future, and then I will sell them. So yes, I still accept LBC super chat. Now an official security as declared by the SEC, a security of the library company. Holy shit. This has just been decided. In fact, here's the... well, before I get to the library subject, the TLDR on the whole Binance situation. Binance tweets fears of insolvency at FTX, its number one competitor. FTX claims it's just rumors. Fear sparked by Binance spreads like wildfire. FTX customers rush to withdraw assets from FTX, causing a bank run. Binance acquires FTX. That is what happened. And holy shit, how is that happening in the public eye? And yeah, as someone said on the chat, there has to be something illegal. If there's nothing illegal, we have to change the law. Not that I wish harm on Binance. I think that Binance is great. But holy shit, that is predatory shark behavior. That is not civil human behavior. But we're there. SEC granted summary judgment against New Hampshire issuer of crypto asset securities for registration violations. Wow. A summary judgment means that library didn't even get to be heard by a jury. That means the judge decides whatever you could tell to a jury will not count. Your case is so lost that there is not a decision that a jury could do that finds you not to be offering security. Now, the whole question was around, do the library credits constitute a security? In my view, the treatment of library is absolutely unfair by the government here, and it's certainly being used as a platform to eventually launch a full-blown attack on the crypto industry. Because by the definition by which they're working for library credits to be a security, by this definition, when you buy ETH, you buy a security that indicates your trust in the general decentralized network of ETH. When you buy Bitcoin, it illustrates your trust in the network of computers that compute Bitcoins. The only difference with library is that it's tied somehow with a video platform. And that video platform gives you rewards for producing video or for watching videos. Now, it seems that in this case, they have made the case to the judge and have won that somehow this relationship with the video platform makes the library credit a security. But I mean, the Bitcoins, when you have Bitcoins, you have a relationship with a kind of website. It's not a website like Odyssey. It's not a separate app like Library, but it's a client, a Bitcoin client. And you are sending bits to the Bitcoin network in the very same way I'm sending bits to you right now. It's just not HTTP. It's just some other thing. I find this extremely worrying that Library got targeted like this. And as we were discussing on the Discord today, the problem of almost all lawfare today is that it isolates a black sheep and it attacks it, and just to make an example, and sometimes to go at them for completely separate reason. And I think that Library, because of its potential to revolutionize the internet, because of its potential to offer true free speech options to the world going forward, is being targeted here unfairly. Now, this legal case, let me tell you, overall, it's all a minor thing, because we're talking about the fact that Library has sold $12 million worth of their little library credits. If they've sold $12 million and their offense to the SEC is they've not registered the sale of security, I don't see them being punished by a massive amount. I don't see the amount being very high. What could happen is they might get punished with maybe $1 million worth of punishment. Now, the question will be, can this small New Hampshire company handle a $1 million punishment? Hopefully they can, but if they can, then this changes nothing. Changes nothing to the network, changes nothing to the programming, and we should move forward. I think in a way, this annoyance, the fact that people were expecting the result of a case may have become more damaging to the reputation of Library than just losing the case. Perhaps a clean loss is what will happen, is the best thing that could happen to restore this network so that people stop asking on the freaking Telegram, Library, what's happening with the case? What's happening with the case? Let's move on. They lost a case and it's going to be whatever sum of money that they owe for this. And going forward, now this platform can develop itself, including Odyssey, can develop themselves to their full potential. Fuck the past, fuck the SEC, and let's move forward. U.S. securities regulators win case against crypto company Library. By the way, is this not a warning about any future developer of crypto? If you live in the U.S., don't make it known that your project is from the U.S. I mean, it's hard if you're a video server like Library with its Odyssey and everything. But in general, if you develop a decentralized project, why would you need to be in a jurisdiction where you know you have all sorts of technocratic tyrants who will impose stuff on you? Now, they're based in New Hampshire. Of course, New Hampshire is the new libertarian utopia. I get it. But you're still going to be stuck with the American empire that will go after you if your project becomes anyhow significant. So I think that future great ideas of developments on the internet should be disconnected from a personality and decentralized in a true way that makes them countryless. That's my view, but of course, I'm not going to develop anything in the crypto world soon, so you guys do what you want, but be careful. Being an American will eventually be a handicap because there's just more lawfare going on in America. Landolt Guntram says Monero can be considered one more exception. It is a very good crypto, yes. And consider this in the crypto biz, if you are extortable in principle, you will eventually get extorted. Yeah, so I think the best way might be going forward, depersonified crypto. A crypto that has truly no owner, no center, not even a web presence. Perhaps that would be the best crypto, but at the same time, it would be hard for that kind of crypto to moon and to become known by the normies. Bitcoin has kind of struck in a time where the legislator was not prepared to attack, so Bitcoin got lucky because it was the first. But going forward, this model of an anonymous original creator is not a bad idea at all. It's a good idea. So what do we have on the Library market? Oh, well, you know, we had a little drop of nervousness here. But then I thought it would continue going down, but it's recovering already. So basically, it didn't really dip below 1 cent per library. There's nothing dramatic with this. There's nothing dramatic. I think that the best days are ahead for the Library crypto and Odyssey. Jonathan Dow says, so cryptotastic that no one owns it at all. Yes, well, you have to have some form of ownership. You have to have some form of password, but that's it. We don't want a main creator. We don't want a central figure that eventually becomes a point of attack no matter what. John Drake says, no owner, no center, no curator. Sounds like someone I know. Really? Is it me or is it Bitcoin? Is it someone or is it something? All right. Breaking Binance to fully acquire FTX.com. That is happening. I've never known about FTX, so I don't care about the situation as far as it relates to FTX. But it is a bizarre situation. Meanwhile, CNN on the tabulation issues in Maricopa County. Of course, CNN has been spending the whole day reminding electors that, you know, votes are safe and those are technical issues. Don't worry about it.
Now, according to county officials, the problem had to do with passwords being entered too many times. So it appears this is a technical glitch of sorts. Election officials say teams are taking those.
I love that the regime is so nervous. So nervous. That they're like, they're debunking live. They are paying human beings to just speak to you through the TV to remind you that we're not committing fraud. Remember, everything is fine. Remember, it's all fine.
Problem ballots to the county's election center where they will be counted after the polls close at 7 o'clock tonight, local time. So they want to assure voters here no one is being disenfranchised. All those votes, all those ballots will be counted, Wolf.
Look at how pathetic the left has become. The left, when I was young, would tell you, you are being disenfranchised. The left would say, the Republicans are stealing votes. They are stealing votes from black people. They're intimidating people so that they don't go to vote. But look at what the left has become.
So they want to assure voters here, no one is being disenfranchised.
No one. Not a single case of oppression has happened today in America. Isn't that beautiful? Not a single black person was denied voting today. Now, look at leftism 10 years ago. And they would tell you that there were millions of people that somehow were not allowed to vote, or the rules were too harsh, or they didn't have a driver's license because it's harder for them to get a driver's license. But look at the problem that has been solved within just a few years of time. Not a single person.
Local time. So they want to assure voters here no one is being disenfranchised. All those votes, all those ballots will be counted, Wolf. Now, according to county
Obama says, Graves Koda says, Obama ended racism. we are resolving problem in America. It's amazing. It's going well. Tuck, tuck, tuck. Doubting Thomas says, JF, to what degree does the internal Odyssey game of earning at fixed rates and donating libraries stabilize its price? I don't know the details of this. I believe that if the system is as you describe it, I don't know any of it. I believe that people who are operating a crypto are faced with the problem that the crypto will rise in price the highest if the least people want to sell it. And so I believe that options like certificates of deposit and long-term deposit and long-term locking, whether it's at a regular bank or in a crypto, it's always aiming the same thing. It's remove sellable items from the market. And that's the sense in which it stabilizes the price, because to have price movement, and particularly price movement down, you need a lot of people to sell, to dump their crypto, either one person with a big volume of the crypto or many people with small volumes of the crypto. So whatever amount you can lock away is stabilizing the price, and in fact stabilizing toward the up, because it's a deflationary strategy. But I don't know the technicals, because I've never deposited my LBC. I don't know where I would have to go to do this. And I don't think I'm going to do it. Inflation is the top issue for voters, followed by abortion. Yeah, but even abortion is not getting much. only 27% of voters are citing abortion. So that's not a major issue on which you can win the election. The only issue on which you can win this election is on economics and whether people believe in their heart that you have the solution to less inflation and a more active economy. Donald Trump was on Truth Social saying, protest, protest, protest. Trump calls for action. over complete voter integrity disaster at polls. The absentee ballot situation in Detroit is really bad. People are showing up to vote only to be told, sorry, you have already voted. This is happening in large numbers elsewhere as well. Protest, protest, protest. Maricopa County in Arizona looks like a complete voter integrity disaster. Likewise, Detroit, of course, Pennsylvania, and other places not being covered by the fake news media. Trump also addressed the 20% of precincts in Maricopa County, which have had major issues. True thing, only Republican areas, wow. Carrie Lake, Blake Masters, and all others are being greatly harmed by this disaster. They are now saying that about 20% of the so-called voting machines in Maricopa County are not counting the votes that have been placed in the machine. Only Republican areas. Okay, that's what he was saying. Tabulation issues. Breaking, chairman of Maricopa County Board of Supervisors announced that this 20% number of machine that don't work. I cannot believe that you guys are still using machines. Absolutely untrustable. Anyone who's been, you know, computers are good when they don't have to do secret stuff. And when they don't have to be transparent at what they do. And when you can readily evaluate the quality of what the computer delivers to you. But in election, it's exactly not what you want. You don't want a black box that no one can know. Has it been programmed to change on that day? I checked it yesterday, but is it still working in the same way today? This is not a trustable way to do elections. Just go back to the regular Canadian way of making elections. Jonathan Dow says, Jeff, aren't lottery tickets just analog cryptocurrency? Lottery tickets, they're very far from cryptocurrency. I mean, analog cryptocurrency. No, because there is no date at which the ticket either wins all of its value or loses all of its value. When you own a Bitcoin, it's going to be your Bitcoin tomorrow and the day after. Now, this value can vary with the market, but a lottery ticket, you can be holding on to $1 million or you can be holding on most likely to $0. And you'll know at a given date, and after that date, it will acquire its final value. Jonathan Dow says, Happy Fun Time says, did I miss the library rundown? What was the TLDR? TLDR, overall, it's a small case. They lost. It's too bad. It's unfair. But the future ahead is brighter than the past, and it won't matter that they lost this. It will matter to the crypto world, because who knows, the SEC might use their new strategy against anyone they want to annoy. But long term, it won't impact us, it won't impact Library, it won't impact Odyssey, and in fact, if anything, things will be more positive going forward, because there won't be this sort of Damocles hanging over our head. Phytosoraptor says, Jeff, do you think trading library coins will be disabled on trading sites like Bittrex? There's a possibility. There's a possibility, and in fact, it happened. It happened back in when they announced the SEC lawsuit. There were at least a month, I think, where Bittrex has delisted the crypto. They didn't allow withdrawal. It might happen out of the nervousness and the problems of supply. So should you run in fear and sell in fear? I don't know. I don't know. I won't recommend anything, because if I tell you you should run in fear, then I'm going to cause a bank run on library. And ultimately, I think that long term, it won't matter. The problem that the SEC is taking, by the way, is that library was selling its library coins. If they don't sell these library coins, there won't be problems. So technically, your coins, my coins, have nothing to do with the SEC finding here and the SEC lawsuit. It's just the coins that library sold. That's the problem. That's the issue they took, that they were selling a security. If anything, in fact, one could argue that a possible outcome is that library will have to stop selling coins. And that means that whatever the library points that are out there, you will be, as a owner of them, the determiner of the market moves, not library anymore. That could be a good outcome for coins ever. Phytosoraptor says, JF, do you think trading library coins... Oh, no, this one I read. Thank you so much for the super chat. Violence, democracy itself, and Fetterman's shorts, the official 2022 midterm election drinking game. In this article, they were discussing how, you know, the Democrats keep saying democracy itself is at play. No, you are trying to argue that your side of the Democratic split is democracy. But democracy is the fact that I can vote Republican also. I don't think it's a good strategy for the Democrats to have framed their whole shtick as democracy is at play. Democracy is certainly not at play, since I have to vote for you, or I can vote for the other guy. So democracy works. And if you want to claim that 2020 was not stolen, then clearly democracy is working. You guys have kept telling us that democracy has been operating wonderful, that there has not been a single disenfranchised voter. So right now, CNN is reviewing the situation in North Carolina historically.
More college-educated voters. Democrats start making inroads in the traditionally sure. Republican suburbs around Raleigh, around Charlotte.
And they had a Democratic senator there for a while.
Democratic senator, and then you come back, Kay Hagan in that year. Kay right. Hagan was the last Democratic senator elected in that year with Barack Obama. So then look at this. Mitt Romney pulls it out just barely. It's a close election, right? It's 2 points.
North Carolina has been oscillating between red and blue. So it's going to be important to follow tonight. Again, the results are not developed enough to take much to take much conclusions, but we see 22 Republicans declared, 9 Democrats declared, but the flipped or the changed seats are still at 0. So this is too preliminary to know what will be the outcome tonight. All right, what else do we have? DeSantis halted. This I found interesting. He halted the Biden election monitors in Florida polling locations. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has refused to allow federal election monitors from the Justice Department into polling locations. In a statement earlier this week, the DOJ said it was sending officials to 64 jurisdictions throughout the country, most of which would be in red or purple states. Included in the list was Broward County, Miami-Dade County, and Palm Beach County. The Florida Department of State received copies of your letter to Miami-Dade, blah, 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 in which you seem to indicate that the Department of Justice will send monitors inside polling places in these counties. We also understand you sent a similar letter to the other county, but Department of Justice monitors are not permitted inside a polling place under Florida law. Blah, 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 section may enter, list the people who may enter any polling room or polling place, and the Justice Department personnel are not on the list. The presence of federal law enforcement inside polling places would be counterproductive and could potentially undermine confidence in the election. Well, I think that they are justified. Anyways, in the Constitution, it is very clear that the task of elections is delegated to the states. They are in charge of their own election. That's why Trump was unsuccessful in the Supreme Court with his case. Of course, I think it's kind of bad. I think that long term, what you're going to end up is that the American empire, the federal empire, will crumble under the fraud that will be allowed in some places and not allowed in other places. So I find it amazing, the idea that you could have a state that decides we're going to defraud. We're going to make fraud a permanent way of doing elections. We're just going to accept it and explicitly state it in the law. We are a fraud state. We like fraud. That's how we run our elections. And the Supreme Court would say that this state is not violating my rights as an inhabitant of another state. I think it's very dangerous of a situation that the Supreme Court is saying, basically, JF as an inhabitant of Wyoming, you do not have the right to expect due process in the voting of California and in the voting of Florida and New York. Very dangerous situation. Jonathan Dow says, JF, without tracking those dates, how could you test if a vaccinated... Okay, those dates. The doses. Okay. How could you test if a vaccinated person is fully vaccinated or whether they need a boost? First, this concept of fully vaccinated is a ridiculous, newly invented concept. Implicit to the very idea that there is such a thing as being fully vaccinated, by the way, is an assumption that you need to be monitored and constantly subscribe to vaccination services, which is an entirely new concept in medicine. We have never used fully vaccinated in that sense. Most of the time, fully vaccinated in the past meant I have had all of the vaccines that are recommended for me. But at this point, it's like fully vaccinated means being subscribed to the Pfizer monthly service. So I reject the term. That being said, if you wanted to know if someone still benefits from the claimed protection of the vaccine, what you would have to do is an antibody test, which is always what's been done in the past. doctors, before they give you, especially as adults, if you're a child, doctors will just give you a vaccine. But if you're an adult and you don't quite remember your vaccination history, they will do antibody tests. They will determine, okay, you don't have antibody for this, you have antibody for this. So theoretically, in principle, you could have an antibody test. And what we know for now of the length of the antibody window is that you will have a certain amount of antibodies for the first 3 months after the vaccination, and it will slowly start to drop from there. And is there a point at which it becomes undetectable? I don't know. Maybe 5 years later, you know, it's undetectable whether you had the vaccine. I don't know about this, but could be that way. Or it could be that your antibodies are less and less effective and less concentrated in your blood, but always detectable, such that you could know if someone ever got the vaccine. But yeah, if we were to develop some kind of a standard, as you ask, that standard would be the antibody titering concentration, basically, in your blood. And under a certain concentration, we could affirm, okay, you're likely to have had whatever was your last booster dose was probably more than 3 months ago or more than 6 months ago. that would be the way to go. I'm not advocating for any of this, though, because I'm not even convinced that having those antibodies is good for everyone. It's like there are so much things to consider, including the myocarditis effect. So much to consider that I'm certainly not for obsessing over having those antibodies. Phytosoraptor says grapes, coda. But Jonathan Dow, to finish, because there's this one last point. You will never know how many boosters the person had. All you will know is there was some vaccination far in the past or recent. That's what you can know. Phytosoraptor says, Grapes Coda had a good question. Does the mRNA and the process it induces ever dissipate from the body? Do we know that yet? We don't know. They will tell you, well, the rat studies have shown that that the mRNA segments were dissipated from your body within a certain amount of time. Here's the problem. First, we don't know if the rat situation is the same as us, or the mice situation is the same as us. That's one problem. The second problem is, even if the mRNA itself was digested eventually or was broken down in your body, there may be other ways through which the effects of the vaccines remain in your body without it being the original mRNA strand. You could have RNA replication through virus recombination. You could have RNA reintegration to the human genome through retrotranscriptase. You could have persistence of the genes of the vaccine through reintegration to DNA through the L1 type of repeatable element reimportation into the genome, also a reverse transcriptase. You can have, I need more fingers. You can have effects on the spike protein having damaged your inner blood vessels that could have lasting damage without the mRNA being still present. You could have spike proteins that survive for a long time because the mRNA is not there, but the spike protein grabs an ACE2 receptor or grabs something in your blood vessel and sticks there forever. You could have all the changes to the heart leading to further physiological damage in your body, damage in your brain. Did I name enough? Because it's not even the full list. And everything I just listed is not even what could happen. Because what could happen is basically 10,000 different things. 10,000 different bad things. What I just listed is what for which there is some evidence, and for which rational worries based on evidence have been raised up to now. That's the situation with... And yeah, Jonathan Dow says, cool it with the anti-Semitism. Also, we've been giving that vaccine for not long enough so that we could know a full answer to your question. We've not been giving it long enough, but we know that some people who have died from certain disorders, like someone has died and he had a shingle infection, and he was it a shingle infection of a living man or a shingle infection of a dead man? I don't remember. Anyways, someone, they had a shingle infection, and we know that the vaccine increases your risk of having a reactivation of the shingle virus that eats your skin. So they took samples from either the dead body or the living body, I don't remember. And it turns out the shingle lesions had some detectable amount of spike proteins from the vaccine. And so, does that mean that the shingles was caused by those spike protein being there? I don't know. But it's one example. It could be that the spike protein was just there and shingles was still reactivated through the what's expected to be an antibody a modification of your antibody response. That's possible. But it's also possible that the presence of the spike protein weakened the local physiology of how your body defends against these resurgence of shingles, and because of this weakening caused the resurgence of shingles. John Drake says, so happy I don't have to dodge 10K different things. Well, that's good, but you dodge them. You dodge them by not getting the vaccine. Jonathan Dow says, Jeff, is there something like a fecal transplant that would allow a vaccinated person to become fully unvaccinated? A fecal transplant. I've never heard these words. You are talking about transplanting fecal matter? You're talking about having my shit replaced with someone else's shit in my body? I've never heard those words. Fecal transplant? It's a South Park reference, okay. I was like, maybe that exists. Maybe some people need their shit shifted for someone else's shit. Why Black Bear says fecal transplant is a real thing. You can get shit pills. It's like everything you could ever say about this is funny. Whether it's real or not, people are saying it's a real procedure. Even if real, whatever you say about it is funny. Like the concept of a shit pill. Lodazal says, don't look at this one. And he sends a Twitter link. Oh my god. Idiopathic subcutaneous thrombotic vasculopathy. Blah. That is basically she's getting... I will not show it on screen. She's getting... basically eaten by bacteria or whatever, or by lesions due to lack of blood flow. One moment. Oh, I have to clear my voice a lot. I think it's getting dry due to the winter. Silver Spider sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, what do you think is the best career to aim for in the future? Even though I made good money in my life, I don't really see the trades being a viable option in the distant future because the market is so competitive now. I don't even know if it's worth passing on my skills anymore. Well, I would wonder what are your skills, Silver Spider, if you want to say it on the regular chat, because it depends a lot on what trade you're in. You may be mistaken about your situation. You may be right. I don't think there's any future, basically, for anything. This world is converging toward absolute crap and parasitism. So I don't think there's this big future thing. Okay, he's a licensed electrician. Well, let me tell you. If you are truly a licensed electrician, there is high demand for this. Maybe you're in an area where you're not lucky, but the red tape is so big and getting there is so long and needs some kind of journeyman training of some kind. I certainly wouldn't just abandon electricity because everyone will always need electricity. So I don't think that you're in a bad trade. I think you're in a very good position. Now, depending on your age, that also is a big factor. Are you a 22-year-old looking for what's the future or a 50-year-old looking for what's the future? Because if you're a 50-year-old, the future is very close. The only future you should care about is the next 10 years. Anyways, so in the next 10 years, what can you do in a realistic time would be very different from what you can do if you're a 22-year-old and you have 30, 40 years of work ahead of you. Some of the, I mean, literally, I would have told you that electricity is a good thing to go for in the future, because everyone will always need electricity. Everyone will not always need as much computer programmers as we have trained. See the computer programming, that would be the example of a thing that we used to say back in my childhood is going to be the thing that you're going to get employed. And that was true and false at the same time. It was true because there was the big tech bubble. And if you're a talented programmer, you can make a lot of money from it. But it was also untrue in many ways because we've deceived a lot of people into a career choice that if you don't have the drive and if you're not like a special kind of artist, you can make a whole diploma of computer programming and you're not interesting on the job market yet, because although you kind of know how to program, you don't have that little drive that differentiates the computer programmer who can take a project to realization and a computer programmer who just knows a couple of things about about functions and everything. So computer programming, depending on your age, would not be an interesting development because it's too long to learn and it's too dependent on whether you are a very talented kind of artist. Silver Spider says, Jeff, the thing is, unless you run your own business, you start at maybe $20 an hour. I had to work very hard to move up and it's exhausting. Well, there you go, exactly. Why wouldn't you offer your own plumbing services? Is there anything keeping you from doing it? I mean, if I were you, what I would do is I would just have the basic equipment to do your electricity work, and I would make myself available to the local community. And I would do it so that people get a more responsive service from you than they do from the big companies. And why wouldn't you do this? Perhaps there are blockades, perhaps it's hard to get a license or whatever, but I would certainly consider doing it on your own, because the whole system right now is employing you and draining much more money than what they're paying you from just the dependence that people have on having an electrician. So why wouldn't you be the one making full profit on this? Personally, I don't see how you could fail becoming an independent contractor. He says, I did have my own small company for a time. And what happened? What's not working with this? Naberius says, I work at a low-level retail job. These service jobs aren't going anywhere. They don't pay much, but at least they're reliable and widely available. And Silver Spider says, then I joined a bigger company. $20 an hour is ridiculously low. Where do you live? I mean, I think that if you go on your own and offer electrical services to people and gather bigger and bigger contracts for yourself and build a name for yourself, you should end up with people throwing money at you. I mean, when the plumber comes to fix my stuff, well, when I wasn't a plumber, I used to have to call a plumber. I would give him extra money. He would charge me $200 for something that took him 30 minutes. And I would give him $300. So you can make a lot of money in a somewhat short time if you own yourself, if you are an independent contractor. Other things that you can consider if you are capable of writing, if you are capable of working on the internet. Personally, I really like working from home, working on the internet. You know, companies like Google, they keep hiring these very robotic workers for $10, $15 an hour. Of course, for you, it's not interesting because you seem to be disappointed at $20 an hour. But if you ever need to survive, Amazon, Google are very good employers. They will just pay you working from home or doing stupid stuff like training an AI or something like this, where you just have to give your human opinion. You can also consider Amazon customer service. Now, that's still lower pay than your $20. So I guess my final advice to you is accept that you're making $20. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. And if you want more, develop it progressively and develop contractual work. Like self-employed, I'm going to your home and you're paying me cash, that kind of stuff. That is the best way to get money very quick. Jonathan Dow says, JF, is being vaccinated something like being hunted? No, because there are ways you can repel ghosts. you can repel ghosts with magnetic waves. I've seen the people who talk about ghosts on YouTube. I don't know this domain, but I think they have machines. Like in Ghostbusters, they had these carryable machines that you can push the ghost away. You cannot push the vaccine away. The vaccine, once it's inside of you, you are vaccinated. What else do we have? Mercer, New Jersey, experiencing programming glitch on their Dominion machines, causing issues with the Dominion machine's ability to process votes. I don't know, maybe we'll have these kinds of problems, but I think they are being watched much more this year than they were 2 years ago. So I'm sure we have Republican eyes in a lot of places trying to gather information on these irregularities. Silver Spider says, John Drake, I was making $1,000 a day sometimes many years ago, but it's just working all the time. Yeah, you can make a lot of money self-employed. Because when you're self-employed, people end up wanting to pay you for the value of your work rather than your time, which is very different. Zelensky sets conditions for genuine peace talks amid US pressure, and perhaps that could be our last news item because I basically have to mute the microphone every minute and I don't know what's happening with my voice. It's probably the dry winter coming. So let's look at this. Genuine peace talks. Anyone who treats seriously the climate agenda should just as seriously treat the necessity of immediately stopping Russian aggression, resuming our territorial integrity, and forcing Russia into genuine peace talks. Well, okay, so Ukraine is getting pressured by the US to be seriously engaging in peace talks, but they are demanding full territorial integrity. Well, forget it. It's not happening. You're not getting Crimea back. And at this point, I wonder if you're even getting Kherson back ever. but you're certainly not getting DPR, LPR in Crimea. So be more realistic, Zelensky. And ultimately, if you want to make Zelensky realistic, you have to stop the money flow. That's the only way it's going to happen. As long as there's a money flow, Zelensky is incentivized at being unrealistic, because he's making more money that way than he would taxing his local poor Ukrainian population. So stop the money flow, bring back reality. That is it for tonight, boys. Oh yeah, I had promised. Chronic Boom has sent me... Chronic Boom has sent me... Oh, I'm having difficulty speaking. Chronic Boom has sent me an important two questions. One on the topic of gay male extroversion, you know, this acting fabulous and thing, what is the cause of it? And secondly, about low IQ and aggression. Why is it that people who are low IQ are more likely to commit crimes or more likely to commit aggression? What is the relationship between the two? How does it work causally? But my voice is so ruined that I want to take the time to give a good response to this. So let's keep it for tomorrow's show, because I can't speak anymore. And I will also try to answer White's questions on Middle Eastern genetics if I do have the data by tomorrow, or whenever I have the data, I will answer this question. But let's bring the Chronic Boom question to tomorrow, okay? Silver Spider says you might as well have this. See, Silver Spider dumping his LBC credits in an ethical manner. If you dump your LBC credit on the markets, on the exchanges, in panic, you create further and further downing of the price. If you give your LBC to Papa JF, you have the confidence of having a stoicist holder of your crypto. And I will not influence the price for many years to come. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. See you all tomorrow.